We should do a whole episode where we have different voices and people, and we pretend to be like a new guest.
No.
Anyways.
Hi.
Hey.
Welcome to episode 3 of 2 Servings of Fruit.
This is 4.
Oh, shit. This is 4. Oh, fuck. I'm going to keep that in, but it is episode 4.
Welcome to episode 4. Today's topic is coming out. I thought you were going
to
join.
Yeah, we just need to plan those things actually before we record.
I said 1, 2, 3 silently. So.
Silently. Today we're going to be talking about coming out, which is just, I think, a topic you have to cover if you have a gay podcast.
Yeah, as to out gay men.
I'm not out.
Jeez. Well, I am. As to out gay men, we feel like we at least can speak from personal experience on this.
Just, yeah.
Period.
Yeah. Anyways, what am I supposed to say to that?
Just yes, absolutely. But first and foremost, we get to start with the best segment of every episode.
Right.
Weird shit of the week.
Oh, that was pretty good.
I love that.
That was pretty good. Weird, it's the weirdest shit that you've ever seen this week. Yeah, welcome to Weird Shit of the Week. I'll start, because This week I think was actually a bit of a struggle.
For your weird shit?
Yeah, like, I didn't find anything that, like, last week with my reptile genitals, I thought was really a highlight.
That is a good one, yeah.
And this week, just, like, really stupid stories. And not stupid in a fun way, just stupid in a boring, stupid way, so. Anyways, my story is from Fox News, and that's how you know that I struggled to find a story, because I went to Fox News.
I just want to make sure we're not on the same one.
Are you on Fox News?
Yeah, mine's from Fox as well.
Fuck.
But mine's not that, I think.
Mine involves a dog.
Oh, yeah, I was going to do that one.
Okay.
But I have a different one.
Okay. The headline reads, Tennessee man leaves $5 million to dog in his will. Quote, she's a good girl.
I think that's actually just really fucking awesome.
It's like, yeah, so he was 88.
The dog?
No, the man who died.
Oh.
No, sorry, 84. Yeah, he was 84, businessman Bill Doris.
Bill Doris.
He died in December 2020, and he left his 8-year-old border collie, Lulu, $5 million.
See, what the hell's a dog going to do with $5 million?
Well, I was reading, and the dog has been in his friend's care for several years because he was sick. And so this money is put in a trust fund for the dog to go towards, like, care for the dog. And his friend has a quote saying, I don't really know what to do with it, to tell you the truth. He just really loved the dog. And she's like, there's no way this dog will use all that money. So.
Well, yeah, of course not. It's a dog.
And I think that the fact that a dog, because I was wondering, like, what about, does he have any family? But the fact that his dog was with, like, a friend kind of tells me he doesn't have
a lot of family.
A lot of family. But he also apparently put away money to pay this woman each month for as long as she takes care of the dog. So
yeah,
that's kind of nice.
But, I mean, she should at least, or I don't know. The thing is, what happens when the dog dies? Does the dog's will, like, what's the
Can dogs have wills?
I don't know.
If you have a trust fund in your name, you, like, control those finances. So is this...
Literally.
Does Lulu go to the bank and deposit or withdraw the money?
She goes to the bank and they give her a tree. That'd be so cute. She walks up to the bank teller and she's like, bark, 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 and they just give her a bone.
Good for Lulu. I'm kind of jealous.
Yeah, I'm really jealous. I wish I had $5 million.
Anyways, that's my story. So, I mean, like, a weird story, just less fun than genitals, you know?
Mine's really cool, too. So this is my headline. North Carolina firefighters dispatched to restaurant discover it isn't on fire, just making 10,000 waves. And the byline is, Ronnie's Pizza was simply preparing a massive order of fiery hot buffalo wings ahead of the Super Bowl. Isn't that so sweet? The Louisville Fire Department shows up. This place absolutely looks like it's on fire.
Wait, can I see?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It looks like it's on fire. Like, they show up and they're like, whoa, this is on fire. They said, while it looked bad when we got there, just making roughly 10,000 chicken wings.
10,000 chicken wings.
Then the firefighters left, and everyone had a good little chuckle about it. But I love this little segment right at the very bottom of this article. It says, while 10,000 wings may sound like a lot, Ronnie's wasn't the only restaurant almost exclusively preparing chicken wings ahead of this year's Super Bowl. Before the game, the National Chicken Council, which didn't know that existed, predicted that Americans would eat a record 1.42 billion, chicken wings.
Wow.
That's literally...
just this last weekend. Just literally, that one day.
Literally. There's like 330 million people in America. That's like 5 chicken wings per person almost.
I like chicken wings, but like people go crazy over them.
I am pescatarian, so I no longer eat chicken wings. Oh, but yeah. I do really like them.
You liked them.
I love chicken wings. I would order 10,000 buffly.
Yeah.
Buffly. 10,000 buffalo chicken wings. So yeah, that was Weird Shit of the Week.
I like Weird Shit of the Week. I think it's here to stay for a bit.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's kind of fun.
I love WSOTW.
I just need more weird shit to happen. Maybe I should start looking at like just local, like Florida news, you know?
I literally Googled Florida man news.
Yeah.
Now moving on to our truthful segment, our truthful honorable segment.
This episode's topic.
Coming out. For those of you that don't know, coming out is what gay people do.
It's what gay people have to do.
It's the law.
You're not gay unless you do it. Just kidding.
Yeah, coming out is, honestly, I could consider this a contentious issue.
Oh yeah, I think so too. I actually just saw, I think what made me think about doing this episode today was I just saw an interview with, what's her name?
Taraji P. Henson.
Yeah, did you see the same one?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, oh fuck, we haven't done coming out yet, so we have to.
I didn't even see the whole video. I just saw her make a good point about like...
a good point.
Yeah, she made a good point. That point was...
we just end there. She made a really good point.
That point was just like, oh, why is it that gay people have to come out? Like, why are we putting that pressure on them?
Yeah. I mean, like, it's hard.
But yeah.
Because just the way that the world operates, it's like everyone's straight until they're not.
Yeah.
So you have to let people know.
Yeah. I thought it would be interesting to start off with a cool little historical lesson on coming out and the whole idea of being gay, even, which is still, relatively speaking, like, in modern terms, quite new. Like, gay people obviously have always existed, but yeah, gayness hasn't existed as long.
Especially in a legal way.
Yeah, very true. This says, in the late 19th and earliest 20th century is when gay subculture thrived. And that's where we kind of start getting to terms like coming out into gay society. This says it was borrowing the term from debutante society.
Debutante.
Yeah, where elite young women came out into high society.
Oh.
I love that, actually.
That kind of makes me feel, like,
yeah,
special.
Now we're in high society.
Yeah. We already knew.
Yeah, we're really high society. I think that's really interesting, actually.
When was this again?
This is looking at sometimes in like the 1930s.
Oh,
1930s,
wow.
40s, and 50s witnessed a growing backlash against this visible gay world. And in response, gay life became more secretive. This is something I've heard about because I remember watching a movie or like a show or something, and it was like kind of old, and they were talking about this term, are you a friend of Dorothy's?
Yeah, I do know friend of Dorothy as a term.
Yeah, and it's like...
it's,
like, are you gay? Like, do you know Dorothy? Because Dorothy from, like, The Wizard of Oz,
yeah,
or something?
Yeah, Judy Garland.
Yeah.
That's also where the term your best Judy comes from.
What does that mean?
Like, your best friend.
Oh!
Your best Judy.
Me learning gay terms.
Literally.
This is also interesting. It says, the term gay was originally borrowed from the slang of woman prostitutes, where they used the word to refer to women in their profession.
So, a way to call a sex worker a sex worker was to call them gay?
I guess so. We can just glaze over that because we don't fully understand it. This is the issue when we try to talk about things that have true information, is I don't know anything.
Where are you getting? We should source our material.
This is from newsroom.ucla.edu.
University of California, Los Angeles.
The history of coming out from secret gay code to popular political protest.
You want to talk about Diana Ross?
Yeah, I really want to just bring this up as well.
Okay.
I saw a TikTok recently of a guy who helped write I'm Coming Out for Diana Ross.
Oh, I did see the exact same one.
Yeah. Basically, they made this, I didn't realize, like, I thought it was just kind of coincidental, but, like, Diana Ross was very much in tune with her gay following. You know what I mean? She kind of embraced that gay icon role, and the people that she had writing lyrics with her, writing her songs, were like, oh, you know what you should do? Like, if you sang a song, I'm Coming Out, like, that would just make them go crazy.
On the one I saw, yeah, it was sort of not, it was like they were thinking about a way to kind of almost rebrand Diana Ross too. And so I'm Coming Out was kind of like, because Diana Ross is not gay. It's yes. Kind of like her whole new image. And then they also considered that the gays would eat it up.
And they did.
And they did. Which is honestly kind of cool for the time it came out. I don't even know when that... When did that song come out?
When did... Okay. 1980.
Yeah. So for 1980, like, good for Diana Ross to release something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of a small little fun factoids about coming out.
I almost saw Diana Ross in Vegas. And then I didn't.
Is she alive?
Liam, we can't do this every episode where you claim that these queens are dead when they're not.
Is she not dead?
She's alive.
Who's dead?
A lot of people are dead. Aretha Franklin's dead.
Oh, yes. She is dead. Chase, when did you come out?
That was such a natural transition.
Yeah, fuck a segue. I don't give a shit.
My coming out story is really boring. So, I came out when I was 12.
But did you say it? Or
I posted it on Facebook.
Okay. And did you tell your parents? Or like
prior? No. My parents were like, oh, we saw your post on Facebook. And I was like, yeah.
What time of year was this? Can you give us a little
bit? What time of year? I mean, I don't know. I could probably find the post if I really looked for it. And I don't know. I feel like I always have known that my parents, really in particular my dad, like, wouldn't care. And he was very open and accepting, which I understand is a huge privilege that I have as a gay person. And so I feel like when I really came to the conclusion that I was gay, I just was like, okay, cool. which is so nice. Like, I feel like I need to acknowledge that that's, like, such a unique experience. You know what I mean? Like, lots of people would wish they could just do that.
For real.
But I might have said I was bi first. I think about it. I think I said I was bi first. And before I talked to my family and before I posted on Facebook, I told this one girl in my grade 7 class. I just told her. I should name drop her because fuck her. So I told her. I was like, don't tell anyone. And then she immediately went and told everyone, which is what prompted my Facebook post, which is what prompted telling my family. And then all my extended family saw up and no one really cared. It was not an issue.
Well, I wish there was more drama.
Sorry to disappoint. That's just my experience. Is yours more dramatic?
Kind of. I came out to my parents first, and then I came out to, like, people at school. And I came out to my parents at, like, the end of grade 8 by writing an email to my mom.
Okay.
And she did not check her email for, like, 4 days. So, like, every day before school, we'd, like, get up and I'd go eat breakfast. Like, does she know? And she's just not saying anything.
Oh, my God.
Like, what's going on? Like, do I address this? Like, what do I say? Because I was like, I don't want to tell her in person. It's going to be really hard. So,
yeah.
And I knew if I emailed my mom, she would tell everyone else in my family, so I wouldn't have to do that. Two birds, one stone.
Just forward the email?
For real. But then, anyways, one night, so, like, a couple days later, I went to bed, and then it's, like, 11 or something, and, like, my mom wakes me up, like, I'm asleep, and she comes and wakes me up, and she's, like, obviously been crying, and she's, like, I haven't been crying, and I'm, like, I can tell you're crying, and she's, like, I just feel so bad you couldn't tell me, like, I feel so bad you couldn't actually tell me, and I was, like, it's okay, mom, it's fine, and then she told everyone, and then she made, I think, just, she made it. I don't know what she told my dad or my sisters or whatever, but yeah. They also were like, I feel really bad. Like, I'm sorry that you couldn't tell us. And I was like, it's fine. Like, I did tell you. So that was me coming out to my family, which had a little bit of flair, a little pizzazz, which was fun.
both of us doing, like, which is virtual coming
literally,
out.
Literally. Because cool. Then when I came out to everyone in school, I also made a Facebook status. My plan was, like, it was almost the end of the school year, and I was like, I want to come out in the summer. Because then I don't have to face any of these people until September.
Smart.
And then I was like, you know what? It was like May. And I was like, I'm just going to do it tonight. And then I did. And then, yeah, everyone was really nice about it, actually. So I don't know why I was worried. But it was just kind of awkward because, like, in high school, I was very clearly gay.
Did you even say how old you were? How old were you?
I was 13 when I came out to my parents. And then I was 14 when I came out to people at school.
Okay, so not that far off from me.
I could never imagine being, like, 30 years old and coming out. Like, that is hard.
I mean, yeah.
And people do.
Yeah, for real.
I remember one of the reasons that I did come out when I was young is because this was also at the time when, like, that whole It Gets Better movement was, like, really big. So I watched a lot of those videos on YouTube of, like, these, like, adults who are, like, out and gay. And they're, like, I just wish I did it sooner. And I was like, well, I don't want to not do it soon enough then.
That's kind of nice.
Yeah,
those videos did something.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, high school is a hard time already. It's an extra hard time being in the closet or coming out of the closet or being the only out gay person in your year.
Yeah, could you imagine going to school with more than, like, 2-3 gay people?
Literally couldn't picture it.
Is that, like, what high school in New York City is like?
There's probably... I don't know what it is now. I know that I've read and heard about how, you know, the younger generation, because being gay is so much more accepted, like, sexuality is much more openly discussed, and because of that, there are more out gay people in, you know, younger ages, and you have, like, more representation, at least in some capacity, in, like, media and things like that, and it's just kind of more normalized, which is really nice to see. So I do wonder what that dynamic is like in, like, a high school now. Like, I feel like there would be more gay people. Like, could you imagine, like, actually interacting with other gay people in high school? And just...
Yeah, I mean, there were definitely, there were other gay people in my class.
In my, like, grade, I can only think of one.
I can think of one, and then my brother would make two. Not really great for the dating pool. There were not enough. Like, it would have been nice. Could you imagine in your class having, like, 5 other gays?
Literally.
Like, even just 5.
Literally.
Would be so cool.
Yeah. And then when I got to university, it was, like, every other person was gay.
Yeah, like, everyone is gay.
Yeah. Still didn't, yeah.
Help the dating pool?
No. Maybe it's me. I've been told I can be, quote-unquote, off-putting.
Who called you off-putting?
No, I was just making a self-deprecating joke. I know I'm perfect. I do think the actual act of coming out is very different now. Like, prior to Facebook and everything, when you could just literally put a label on it and everybody that wanted to check could check, you had to, like, come out to people over the phone.
I mean, yeah, even...
By mail? I don't know.
Like, I came out literally 11 years ago now, which is fucking crazy to think about.
Yeah.
And even then, like, I was able to do it virtually, which is kind of like a luxury, to be honest. So, like, before that, like...
Literally, you came out, you physically sat people down and told them.
That's hard.
Yeah, that's a lot. I get why then people wouldn't really come out. Especially because, like, if you moved away, like, you know, if you moved to a city or whatever, your high school friends and people aren't really there anymore, it's like, why bother?
Literally, they do not need to know.
Yeah. Now, you just kind of, you change your Facebook, you go to your profile, interested in men, perfect. I know people who did still come out to people in person, which I just think that's a big confrontation to have.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I feel like my parents might have appreciated it more if I did it in person before posting about it on the internet, but here we are.
Well, I do also want to quickly discuss, how has coming out changed you? I mean, obviously it's a long time ago, and that's a very transitional phase in life to be coming out pretty much in the middle of puberty and in high school and all that time. But also, I do think, as an out gay man, my life is very different than if I was in the closet, obviously.
Of course. I mean, I think that it's definitely hard, because it was so long ago now, to think about what it was like before. 4. But I was just in like an overall bad place in general at that age, at 12 to 13. Like just a bad, even after I came out, it was, I mean, like people were not nice. So that didn't help. I will say that going through that at 12 and 13 and 14, like not necessarily made me stronger, which it did, but that's not my point. I just think I feel so comfortable now in my, like, queerness just as a person. Like, I really, I can, you know, wear a heel on the streets and I don't really care, you know, so much. Which I think having now 11 years of being an out gay person has helped me.
True.
In that way.
I think one of the benefits of coming out is that you kind of are forced into being honest and accepting with yourself.
Yeah. Which,
and it's scary, obviously, to talk about because so many people are just treated horribly for it. But at the same time, once you get through that, it kind of makes you feel like, okay, if I could do that, then, you know, if I can be comfortable with this part of myself that was so scary to begin with, and I can be comfortable with, like, all these other parts of myself that are, you know, maybe not as crazy or as,
yeah,
as shocking to tell people.
Is that how you think you've changed?
I think so. I think coming out has just made me more accepting of myself. It's also, over time, I think initially it's like you kind of, with coming out, there's almost this like intrinsic shame with what you're saying, which is why you have to feel like you're like saying something big to someone, and
yeah,
it's like you're worried about their judgment, and it's like a secret that you're holding on to, and I don't know. It's all these like negative feelings to begin with, and then it's just you get through it. I don't know. I don't think that shame or whatever should be there. I don't feel like people,
yeah,
should feel that, but I do think that is how I felt.
For sure. I mean, that kind of gets into like the idea of coming out in general is sort of messed up.
Yeah.
Like just, I mean, just the fact that everyone assumes you're straight until you clarify and say, hey, I'm not straight.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of messed up. And I think that maybe as time goes on, not anytime soon, I think coming out will slowly become less of a thing.
Yeah, like less of a defining moment.
Yeah, like sexuality is becoming more and more. I feel like it used to be you're gay or you're straight. And then it was you're gay or you're straight or you're bi. And now it's like a whole
spectrum.
Whole spectrum.
Yeah, which is honestly good.
No, it is really good. And I think that when I'm a parent, I won't expect my child to be straight. And
that's
I won't
fair.
Expect my child to be gay either.
Yeah.
You know, like, just like whatever they, whoever they choose to be with is whoever they choose to be with. I will not need my child to sit me down and say I'm gay or post a Facebook status.
I remember seeing this video go around when I, like, around the time when I came out, and it was like a reverse world where the heteros are the ones that need to come out, and like they're,
yeah,
everyone else is gay and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, honestly, I'm down.
Literally.
For real. One thing I think that this kind of all touches on is not only the relevance of coming out in this day and age, but also the benefit of it. Like, do you feel that coming out was a beneficial experience?
Yes, in the ways that it has affected me now. So I think overall, yes, but in the moment, no.
That's fair. That's fair.
But that's not because of being gay. That's because of other shitty people. So
yeah. I think coming out was very much a defining moment for me, probably. Literally defining.
Oh, yeah,
like,
true.
I literally defined myself for people. I do think probably nowadays that's not as large of a moment for people. I mean, I'm sure it still is. I don't know exactly. I can't really speak to it because I don't know what it's like to be in the closet anymore.
We're in a closet.
We're literally
right now
in the closet, actually.
And I feel great.
Yeah, I love it in here.
I would be interested to talk to, like, a teenager who has come out or is gay, about whether they plan to come out or whether,
yeah,
people just know or whether they feel the need to let people know. Like, I don't know.
I'd also love to talk to, like, a 30-year-old who's still in the closet. That must be really hard.
You can find them on Grindr using the married filter.
You mean married to a man on Grindr?
Okay, married filter, and they have no picture on Grindr. It means they are married to a woman.
Yeah, poor lady. That being said, about just the benefit of it, this is something I thought about when I was thinking about this episode, is I think we need to throw ourselves a party, a retroactive party.
A party 10 years in the making?
10 years in the making, saying, this is my coming out party, retroactive.
That's kind of fun.
Right? I just love the attention.
But don't you feel that that just puts more focus on coming out
concept? I think it just puts focus on me.
Yeah. Are we joining our parties or is this just a
year? No, this I'm doing my own.
Oh, okay.
You can do your own.
I don't really feel the need.
I'll bring a gift.
You're actually not invited.
Or food, like a dip.
You're still not invited.
We should throw a red.
Oh, that's what I want to talk about. What I was thinking about is this. When you're gay in like a heteronormative society, coming out kind of never stops.
Yeah, that's true. Because when you meet people, it is like you kind of have to tell them again.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of the times with me, they just kind of get it.
I just like to slip it in a conversation casually so no one ever, like, has to wonder.
That's still kind of messed up. Like, like to have to tell people all throughout your life that you meet that you're gay, like, just come out over and over and over again.
I wish people would just ask. People, like, take such offense. It's like, if you ask someone if they're gay or something, they're like, no?
Yeah, if you ask someone who's gay if they're gay, they'll say, yes, bitch. But if you ask a straight person, they'll say...
They'll say, what?
Yeah.
Or they'll, like, laugh. Or, like, it's like, whoa, chill, dude.
Yeah, especially straight men.
Oh, literally. Yeah, that makes it, like, a whole thing that you do have to come up because otherwise no one will ask you. Like, if they want to know. If you're curious about someone, I do think it's reasonable to be curious about someone's sexuality because it is a part of who they are. Mm-hmm. And it affects your interactions with them to some degree. Like, I think people get so hesitant about asking.
So basically, just like every other issue in the world, it boils down to straight men.
Yeah. The nice thing about coming out multiple times is that, again, you just become really comfortable with it. Like, you're not even...
For sure.
I remember one time I went to the Cloverdale Rodeo with a friend of mine. She was a woman. The
Cloverdale Rodeo!
Yeah, Cloverdale Rodeo. We were there, and this guy was like... we were at, like, the boardwalk kind of thing. And... Or what is it called? The game. Boardwalk? Is that what it's called?
I don't know.
The games. Midway? I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyways, we were there, and the guy was like, win a bear for your girlfriend, and I just yelled out, I'm gay, and I was like, whoa, I just said that to a stranger, and I just said it, like, without hesitation.
That kind of reminds me, there's this thrift store, and it's like a Christian church-run thrift store, and it's all old women, and I used to go with one of my friends, and it's all women's clothing, but I would get some stuff for myself and they would always say, oh, it's such a nice boyfriend buying this for her. And I'd be like, yes, I am.
I mean, like, yeah.
Like multiple times, like those women fully just think that I'm straight.
Yeah. Love that. And sometimes I like to see, like, oh, do people think I'm straight? Or like when girls kind of try to flirt with me, I'm like, oh, no way.
Yeah.
No way. I remember like when I was like 15 or something, I saw this post and it was like, when straight girls flirt with me, it's like getting tipped in Monopoly money. And I was like, honestly, this is just cool. But I can't do anything with this.
There's only one instance I can think of where a woman was really all over me. And it was And it was at a concert in Seattle. And I was with my friend. It was with Jess. And this woman, it was like a mosh pit situation, was like trying to grind on me so hard. And I was like, holy fuck. I was like, Jess, you need to be my girlfriend. So Jess pretended to be my girlfriend. And the girl was mortified. She was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. He's so cute. Like, she said this all in front of me. I was like, thank you. Thank you so much.
The one time I can think of off the top of my head was actually kind of creepy.
Really?
When I think about it. Because I was 17. I was at a friend's house. This was like our high school graduation kind of party or whatever. And this woman who lived in the area, like in the complex.
Yeah.
She was one of my friend's neighbors. She's like 30. Like 35. Oh, wow. And she's like rubbing my shoulders. She's like, you're so cute. And I'm like, thank you.
Oh my God.
And she was really drunk.
How old were you?
17.
Oh my God.
So that was awesome. And needless to say, yeah, we hooked up. Is there anyone that you can think of that you're not out to?
No, I mean, I work... Because, like, I'm doing the English tutoring.
Oh, yeah.
I've never told those people, anyone I work with, that I'm gay. But I've worn boots with a significant heel to that job. Like, they know. And obviously, none of them care, and if they do care, it doesn't really make a difference.
There are, for me, the only person, technically, that's, like, actually in my life that I'm not out to is just my grandpa on my dad's side.
Oh, yeah?
Because he's very old, very Italian, very Catholic. I didn't come out to my grandmother on that side either. They both didn't know. And we only see them, like, once a year, and it's just easier to, you know. Grandparents is, like, a whole other world because they're just from a completely different generation. Like, my grandma, she still asks me if I have a girlfriend. I'm like, nope, still gay. Still gay queen.
Wait, do you have grandparents on your mom's side?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Do they know?
Yeah, yeah, they know. Because they had me on Facebook and, like, that they saw that happen.
Is this the Karen Huger grandma?
Yeah.
Cool.
Love her. I do love her. She's such a messy queen.
We're going to bring her up every episode. Would you consider, based on what I told you about my coming out experience, that I was outed?
Yeah.
By that girl?
Kind of, yeah.
I've never...
I mean, you were forced to come out, I'd say.
Yeah, I've never considered it that way, even though I still think that girl is an asshole.
Outing people is not a good thing to do.
I think that if you out someone, you are a piece of shit.
Yeah. You want to know... Okay, wait. This is a side note, but just because I said her name, I need to get this out there. I had a dream last night that I went to the Ellen show.
Okay.
And the Ellen show was being filmed in a barn on a farm in Aldergrove.
Oh, wow.
And I went there, and the tickets were full, and then this producer came out, and she's like, we have some extra seats. There's this, like, crowd of people, and she's like, we'll choose a couple people from this crowd. And I just smiled really big, and I was like, I love Ellen! And then they were like, okay, you can come.
Wow.
So then I got in, and the room was this huge red velvet room. Ew. And Ellen came in, and she was dancing, and we were dancing with her, and I was with some girl, I don't even know who. And then she was like, wow, you're so drunk. And I'm like, no, I'm not, Ellen. I'm literally sober dancing right now. And she's like, you're dancing like a drunk idiot. And I was like, Ellen!
Oh my God.
Anyways.
It's probably a true story.
We did get $5,000, though, in the dream.
Wow.
And it smelled like cow shit because it was on a farm.
Does that have any relevance to coming out?
Ellen, period.
I mean, like, this episode was supposed to be more of just an open discussion, I guess, about our experiences, but I think I've covered everything I want to say.
I just want to let people know I am gay.
God,
just, coming out.
Thank you for trusting me with that. Guys, Liam is gay. Liam is gay.
Yeah, Chase is straight. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how you want to end it, but if you are in the closet, don't come out till you're ready to.
Don't come out till you're ready to, but also just know the grass is greener on the other side.
Yeah, it truly does get better.
Literally.
And don't come out if you're in a dangerous situation.
Yeah. Anyways, what are you listening to this week?
That's a natural segue for once. You've never done that before. For my song of the week, do we even have a name for this segment yet?
No.
Do we need a name? We don't even need a name. No. We'll think about it. Anyways.
We should change our legal names. You can change your legal name to Shitbag. I can change my legal name to Awesome Guy.
You see, you ruined your really nice natural transition with whatever you just said. So, the song I am listening to this week, you are going to think is so stupid. It is UK Hun.
What?
UK Hun by the United King Dolls.
I literally have no clue what the hell you're talking about.
The United King Dolls are a group of four drag queens currently competing on RuPaul's Drag Race UK Season 2. I'm going to play you a bit of this. Some lyric samples are Bing Bang Bong, Sing Sang Song, Ding Dang Dong.
Jeez Louise.
I don't even know if I can keep this in, but I want you to hear it.
Bing Bang Bong, Sing Sang Song, Ding Dang Dong.
And it's number 3 on the UK charts or something.
Good for them. UK, hon.
I fucking love that song, and I will not stop listening to it.
What's
your song?
I've been listening to a lot of Daft Punk this week.
Oh, wow. Why?
So, just because it's just fun.
It's a vibe.
Yeah, it is. So, mine is Around the World by Daft Punk. Around the world, around the world.
Oh, yeah. That's a good song.
Yeah, you just walk to that, you get a little beat going, it's like,
I feel like, would you say Daft Punk is a summer vibe?
I would say Daft Punk is its own vibe. It's like a rah, rah, rah vibe, you know what I mean?
No, I don't.
Like, it's like a, I would say it's a sunset vibe.
Okay.
Doesn't matter the time of year, I would say.
If you're listening to Daft Punk and it's overcast.
Go fuck off.
Shut it off.
Literally. I wonder what they look like.
Okay, well, thank you for listening.
Check us out on Instagram at @2servingspod.
You can email us if you have any suggestions for a show or you just want to send us hate at twoservingspod@gmail.com.
We should make a Wikipedia page.
Can you just make a Wikipedia page?
Pretty sure.
Oh, we should do
that. We should do that.
You can find us on Wikipedia. Just type 2servingspod into the search bar. Also, if you could be ever so kind to leave us a review on
wherever you get your podcasts.
Especially Apple Podcasts.
And Yelp.
Yes. Okay, bye.
Bye.
That was your most normal bye yet.
Boo-goo-goo-goo-goo.
We should record in the morning more. I think you're a little more tame.